Well, we're going to get started. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We're very proud to host this Energy Roundtable, this Media Energy Roundtable, and we're awfully pleased to have with us a distinguished guest and leader here, certainly in the state of Missouri, Congressman Roy Blunt, leader in Congress. And as you know, as the energy debate rages in Congress, that debate is one that is very, very important to the future and present of the biodiesel industry. You know, as the National Biodiesel Board representing the National Trade Association, the map there on my left is kind of all of our membership, our organizational membership. Shelby told me to remind everybody that we are the largest national trade association in Jefferson City, certainly the most reputable trade association in the 600 block of Clark Avenue, I would contend. Energy is an important issue, and Missouri is really a kind of a centerpiece that the biodiesel industry has emanated out of, with a lot of leadership from the leaders around this table. Leaders including Enterprise Rent-A-Car, that includes National and Alamo, that they are switching over 600 airport buses nationwide in 50 cities to run B5 and B20 in those airport buses. They're also funding research with us, with the Danforth Plant Science Center, on a number of feedstock development issues. And so Missouri really is kind of the centerpiece from which the biodiesel industry has emanated historically. And as most of us know, right now is a very, very critical time in our country, and certainly for the biodiesel industry. The biodiesel tax credit, which has been one of the most successful tax credits, or one of the most successful pieces of energy policy in our history, which took effect, just to give folks some context, the ethanol tax credit took effect in January of 1980. The biodiesel tax credit took effect in January of 2005. And in just that 5 short years, the biodiesel industry has built more than 150 biodiesel plants nationwide. That's brought green jobs and investment to rural areas, and most importantly, has displaced petroleum with the first commercially available advanced biofuel. And just as we were really beginning to develop and flow and displace volumes of petroleum, Congress allowed the biodiesel tax credit to expire on December 31st. It's our number one priority to get that tax credit reinstated retroactively as quickly as possible. And so we're working diligently with leaders in Congress to try to do that. I just wanted to lay that groundwork, and we'll take questions from the media. But right now I want to invite Congressman Roy Blunt to make some remarks and kind of share your vision of what's going on with this policy debate.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's great to be here with you again. It's great to be at the Biodiesel Board. I'm really so proud that this organization has the nationwide impact it has. The Soybean Association, the Missouri Soybean Association, as an example, has kind of been the premier state association that really drives research and other things. And then to see this organization become, as you said it was, really the national hub for looking for better alternatives, encouraging research, encouraging new ways to do things. Frankly, I'm very concerned that we continue to see good job-producing tax credits in the energy industry generally held hostage to cap and trade, which would be terrible for the country and even worse for Missouri. I think we've seen the current majority hold these things back because they're trying to get something done that the American people don't want to get done, and so they're holding back things that people clearly understand needs to happen. You know, my sense on energy has been, for all the time I've been in the Congress, that we need more American energy of all kinds. We need to develop more, find more, use less. I mean, conservation is an important part of this. but there are lots of different ways to approach conservation and invest in the future, figure out what comes next, and then support what comes next. And I think particularly in the credit environment we're in today, we can no longer have short-term tax credits. We need to begin to think, how long does it really take for this industry to become a stable part of the ongoing energy future of the country, and try to calculate those credits out in a way that you can go to the bank and say, here's how we're going to pay the loan off, and here's how we know we're going to pay it off, because we have a long-term commitment. You know, frankly, before the economic crisis, the financial crisis in 2007, and particularly in 2008, there were some banks you could make that argument with, but there aren't many regulators any longer that are going to let that argument be made. And so we need to not just have an extension of these credits, but an extension for as long as we can possibly argue that these credits would be needed to create more American energy. And I'll just tell you, I'm for all of it. I'm for more wind, more solar, more nuclear, but I'm also for more renewables and more biofuels. I think we all understand how dangerous and foolish it is to be needlessly dependent on people who don't like us. But it's economically almost as foolish to be dependent on other economies for something you could produce in your own economy. You know, we know we're going to need energy. We know we're going to need fuel. We know there are jobs there. And frankly, more American energy is a big part of more American jobs. It probably is as important as any other area to focus on as we figure out what do we do to create more American jobs. And energy is the way to do it. New things in energy, adding to our old resources in energy. And again, if I'm fortunate enough to serve in the Senate, having the advice of you and this board as we argue the important case of more American energy and biofuels and renewables is a great asset to me. And while it's a great asset to the whole country, it's even a bigger asset to your own senators. And certainly Kit Bond has been not only an advocate, but benefited from the advice he's gotten from this organization with a big national footprint. So I'm glad to be here with you today. It is an important part of the future, and I hope to have your continued help and continued advice, and thanks for letting me come by.
All right, thank you. Well, we're ready to take questions from members of the media, or if there are other folks that have questions.
How do you address those people who say that that the tax credit should not be extended, that biodiesel and perhaps other renewable fuels should rest on their own without tax subsidies? How do you answer?
Well, I mean, clearly that's not the situation shows you that that's not the case. And I think we should be aggressively trying to calculate when is that moment when they can rest on their own and get there as soon as we can. But you don't want to get there sooner than you can. You know, somebody once said everything should be as simple as possible, but no simpler than possible. And our goal with this should be to calculate the timing out so that we really get these American jobs and this American industry to where it becomes an ongoing part of the energy picture without pulling the rug out from under it at a time when it otherwise would be right about to succeed. And it's an important part of who we're going to be, I think. And my answer is you only have to look at what's happening right now to know that without this kind of encouragement, this industry goes away. And that just drives all of our energy cost up, which makes us less competitive in the world and more dependent in the world than we are now.
If I could take a crack at Tom's question as well. I get asked that question a lot, as you might imagine. And my answer to the question is that, you know, the petroleum sector has enjoyed government policy support for well over 50 years and continues to enjoy significant government policy support. And so it's the fact that the biofuels need some government policy support is not shouldn't be surprising, especially when you have a small, nascent, emerging industry like the biodiesel industry that has to play in this very volatile market that's a delta between two volatile markets, the energy market and the ag market. And so I would tell you that 11 years ago when I became CEO, crude oil was $10 a barrel. We were specialty manufacturing biodiesel at somewhere, by the time you put it in a barrel and shipped it from Cincinnati to Albuquerque, where we were doing testing, it came out to like $6 a gallon compared to $1 per gallon diesel fuel. Well, in that 10 years, as more plants have come online, as it's integrated into the infrastructure, as you've gained economies of scale, most of that commercialization has occurred just in the last 5 years since the biodiesel tax credit. And now we are increasingly more competitive with diesel fuel. So I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to take more than 5 years. And one other point is that we have always said we really need a policy framework that has that tax credit as the economic driver, the economic stimulator. It's not just creating demand for biodiesel, but it's stimulating investment in plant science, investment in infrastructure, investment throughout the entire value chain. So we need that economic driver of the tax incentive, and you need the RFS as a backstop, as an insurance policy. And so, strangely, we've been thrust into a situation this year in 2010 where we have neither one of those policy frameworks. So that's the situation we're in. Yes.
I'm David Lee with the Associated Press. You mentioned the number of biodiesel plants that had started in the past 5 years since the tax credit had been offered. How many have closed down this year after it expired?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and one that we don't have a hard answer on, but a very significant portion of the biodiesel plants have either shuttered or they're just, you know, barely keeping volumes going just to keep some of their systems running, some of their major customers supplied. But it's a substantially low amount of volume that's being produced out there. In addition to that, there's been plants that have gone under, a significant number. I don't have a hard number, but significant number of plants have gone under, and a significant volume, more number of plants have laid off workers and have laid off those green jobs that have been developed.
But how much of that is attributable to the expiration of the tax credit, just a poor economy and prices of their inputs and stuff like that?
Most of it. I mean, I would say the majority, if not all of that, is due to the lapse of the tax credit, because if the tax credit were turned back on, and this would be the case all the way back to January, the biodiesel is competitive with diesel fuel in this environment at you know, $80 a barrel crude oil. Biodiesel is competitive currently with the tax credit.
So of 150 plants, you're thinking more than half of them are shut down, or just ballpark?
I would say that's probably as good a guess. We don't know specifically, but either shut down, there's warm shutdown, there's cold shutdown, there's idle, I would say a majority of plants are in one of those three stages.
Right, I heard a farmer ask you at the last stop why you had voted against a bill that had an extension of the tax credit, and explained it had some other tax increase in it. But
right.
Can you elaborate a little more specifically about what was in that bill that you didn't like? What bill you thought?
No. I'd have to get the bill out and look at it. I think it was included in a tax bill that had a number of tax increases in it. And you don't have, it's not necessary to slow down one part of the economy in order to encourage another. This idea of static policy, where you don't understand that encouraging something like a tax credit increases tax revenue because it increases economic activity and jobs, is just an economically foolish way to look at job creation. The Obama administration particularly wants to see everything in the economy as a zero-sum game. And it's not. If you're on the biodiesel board, obviously, the one tax that matters the most is this one. But if you have to look at the whole package, you've got to look real carefully and be sure that you're not doing as much harm as you're doing good by increasing taxes on somebody else to try to put people to work. Given the choice of ideology or jobs, the current administration's chosen ideology every single time. And in this case, the ideology is this zero-sum static economy where you don't really appreciate the dynamic nature of what happens when you put people to work.
Congressman, Cindy Zimmerman with Domestic Fuel.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a roller coaster this week, this year, since the tax credit expired. You know, we think, you know, it seems like every couple of weeks or every month or so, there's a bill it's going to be attached to, or it has been attached to and fails. What do you see as the best vehicle at this point?
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, they're talking now about an energy bill, sometimes called energy light, because it wouldn't have the burdensome and ill-conceived cap and trade on it. And, you know, what I think has been happening, these good tax credits for More American Energy have essentially been held hostage. It's sort of like, at least it was reported a few weeks ago that Senator Kyle left a meeting with President Obama, and President Obama said, well, we don't want to secure the border, because if we secure the border, then you won't do anything about the people that are here, that got here with illegally. You can't continue to hold back doing the right thing because of some other agenda that needs to be pursued at a later time. And we need to move forward. Hopefully we can move forward with things that encourage all kinds of American energy. And it's a huge job creating environment, but you don't have to cost other jobs to create these new jobs. You know, they want to say that the answer to that, the cap and trade bill somehow creates jobs, hadn't created jobs anywhere else in the world that lasted, but it eliminated more jobs than it created in every other place in the world. Can't continue to go down a path that's already proven to be the wrong path. And I'm hopeful that either in September or before the end of the year, they'll figure out a way to do the right thing on energy instead of tying the right thing to the wrong thing.
There are some members of your own party who like to throw around the word socialism a lot when we start talking about various programs that stimulate the economy or supplement the economy. Why is it not socialism for the government to continue to pump tax credits and other things into this industry?
Well, as Joe already pointed out, the truth is we've always understood that we had an economic necessity in energy production, and in virtually every energy sector, there's been some kind of tax incentive to go out and explore, develop more American energy. It happens in petroleum. It happens in natural gas. It happens in wind and solar. And it's going it has been part of our economy since we became an energy dependent economy. And I think it continues to be appropriate. We want to have American jobs that make us less dependent on other economies, and particularly less dependent on the economies of people that simply don't like us.
That apply to the automobile industry, too?
Would what apply to the automobile industry?
Government involvement in keeping those American jobs going.
And I don't know that it would necessarily apply. I think I was pretty specific that it applies to energy. It doesn't apply to all jobs, but the government has had a long-standing sense that it's in our advantage to encourage the development of our own national resources. And I don't know that why, just because Missouri farmers are now part of that national resource chain for energy, that they need to be left out of what has been a consistent government policy about energy.
So it's okay for the government to be involved in energy production, but not in car production?
No.
When it comes to financing?
No. I'm sure that there are plenty of tax rules that relate to all kinds of manufacturing, and they're not the same rules that relate to energy. Tax policy is different than subsidy, Bob, as you surely understand.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're talking about biodiesel, but the mm-hmm. ethanol tax credit is also set to expire at the end of this year, along
right.
with the associated tariff on imports. What do you think about that? What's going to happen with that?
Well, I think it needs to be extended. And again, I think like this tax credit, needs to be extended for a long enough time to do everything we can to ensure that the industry is viable, that the credit chain is a viable credit chain, that you can go to the bank and explain how you're going to pay the money back. Frankly, one of the big things that the government can do now and in the future is constantly be trying to encourage research that allows us to know when we reach that moment and what other innovations can be added to the current energy chain that get us to that moment quicker. So if you don't want to have more American energy, you can kill these industries. If you do want to have more American energy and more American energy jobs, you've got to encourage a fledgling energy competitor to the traditional energy markets.
Sure, I think, one more question.
I think you said it earlier, Joe, but what is the size of the tax credit for biodiesel?
It's $1 per gallon blender's credit.
$1 per gallon?
Yes.
Okay.
What a good last question. Thank you all.
We can talk.